I will start the sermon with some prayer because I need it, and I'm sure we can all use it. So bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your love, and for your compassion. God, we thank you that we have the opportunity to come to you, to be in your presence, to learn more about you, to listen to you, to be in communion with you. We're so grateful that you've given us that opportunity. God, right now I pray that you would speak through me to your people. God, whatever you would have them learn, however you would have them mature and develop, God, I pray that you would use me in your work of grace over each and every single one of them, including myself. God, I pray that you would touch my words. I pray that you would open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to receive what it is that you want us to receive this morning. God, you are a good God. You are a gracious God. So God, I pray that you would lay upon our hearts what it is that you would have us learn, and that you would give us the grace and freedom to operate in that and utilize that as we go throughout our days and our weeks to come. God, we love you, we thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Well, as many of you know, maybe some of you don't know, I work at Chick-fil-A, and I serve the Lord's chicken. Yes, it is true. Some people at Chick-fil-A really do believe that they are serving the Lord's chicken. But I'm going to leave that up to you guys to decide on your own. In any case, I've worked there the last couple of years, and I know every position up front. And now I have begun to learn most positions in the kitchen. And for the last several weeks, I have done almost nothing besides boxing little 4-count and 10-count minis. You guys know what 4-count and 10-count... Have you guys ever had breakfast at Chick-fil-A? Breakfast, not very many. We have breakfast, just to let you guys know. And these little minis are little yeast rolls with our nuggets inside of them, and we slap some honey butter on them. It's really bad for you, but they're really tasty, really good. Anyways, in the morning, that's what I do. And then in the afternoon, I've been boxing our nuggets. So if you guys ever want to know how to box some nuggets, you come talk to me. I'll share that with you guys. It's not really hard. But anyways, I've been doing that for the last several weeks, my entire shift. So 7 to 8 hours of my shift, boxing minis and nuggets. That's what I do. In any case, as you could probably imagine, standing in one place for 7 to 8 hours out of your day is pretty boring, and it can get very, very repetitive. Anyone ever stand around one place that long? Yeah. But wait, it gets better. Anyone ever stand in one place doing the same thing for 7 to 8 hours while someone else is constantly asking you for the thing you're working on? It is, if any of you have worked in the food industry, this is the, what would you call it? The case between front counter and kitchen. This is the struggle. So you're doing your work, and then they're constantly asking you for the things, that you're working on. Yes, nothing brings me more joy in life than someone asking me for 7 to 8 hours for the thing I am constantly working on the entire shift. But as most of you can figure out, there's no time for patience in fast food. Better yet, no time for patience at Chick-fil-A. I know some of you guys have seen that line at 200. If you haven't seen it, you've surely been affected by it. It causes a lot of traffic. But anyways, I'm going to stop with my soapbox for a moment, because one of the passages for this past week's scripture reading of the 21 days of prayer and fasting was 1 Peter 3:15. It says this, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect." There's one phrase that really struck me as I read this verse. It's six simple words. The hope that is in you. In what context does this phrase occur, though? You see, Peter is writing to a persecuted church. Followers of Christ were being persecuted for being exactly that, followers of Christ. There was something different about these people. There was something different about the way they carried themselves. It was hope. People could noticeably see something different. They could hear something different. And this is the reason for this particular verse, this particular passage. Peter is encouraging the believers to persevere. He's encouraging the believers to hold firm, to value God and the things of God above what others might say or might think. And here in this verse, he urges believers to be prepared. Be prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks for a reason. For the hope that is in you. For what makes you different. For why you have joy. For why you are patient. For why you are loving. Why you are generous. For why you are the way that you are. For the hope that is in you. You may be wondering at this point, why am I honing in on this phrase though? This verse has a lot more to it. This passage has a lot more to it. Why just stick with this? Because before we can get to the rest of the verse, we have to get this right. If no one can see the supposed hope that has transformed our lives, then what's the purpose for making a defense? No one is going to ask us if we are acting the same as the rest of the world. If we are not noticeably making a difference, there's no reason for this passage. If I were to be transparent and honest with you right now, no one would want to ask this of me at work. Because I have not lived in a manner which would provoke any interest. You may say, well, it's just work. Who cares? I care. God cares. On average, a person spends 13 years and 2 months of their entire lives at work. That's if you add up all the hours spent. That's not just adding up like a day. Oh, I worked this day. No, that's adding up physical hours on the clock. Now, I know I'm not going to be at Chick-fil-A my entire life, but this is one more place where I am a witness. I am a witness of Christ. You, if you have made the decision to follow Christ, are a witness of Christ and his transformative love and grace. We are all witnesses. So when I give an attitude or make a sarcastic remark or am impatient or unloving or unkind at work, as aggravating as my position may be sometimes, it is not justified. Because when I do that, when we are impatient, when we are unkind, when we are not generous, when we are not loving, we nullify our witness. We hinder what God could do through us in somebody else's life. Because no one is wondering, man, why are they so hopeful? Why are they so joyful? Why are they so kind and generous? Why are they so loving? Instead, they're wondering, man, what's their problem? What side of the bed did they wake up on this morning? I want you to ask yourself sincerely and honestly, are you being a witness? Are we as the church being witnesses of Christ? Are we living in such a way that provokes our family members, our coworkers, our friends, our neighbors, that random person at Publix, to ask the question, what is different about them? What makes them different? Why do they have that much joy? Why are they so kind? Why are they so patient? Why are they so loving? Can they see the hope that is in you? If you've answered no to that question, I want to challenge you this morning, as I challenge myself, because we're all in this together. Is anyone in here perfect? I don't think... Kyle, you're not perfect. No one in here is perfect. So we can all grow in this area to some degree, to some extent. So what is the challenge? I thought it'd be cool to share with you kind of the verse that is the vision of Lighthouse Youth this morning. That's Matthew 5:16. It says this, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You see, becoming more Christ-like is the goal. Bringing glory to the Father is the goal. Reaching the lost is the goal. But how could anyone ever come to the Father if the Father's people are no different than the rest of the world? How can anyone come to the Father and bring Him glory if no one sees the hope that is within each believer? But how do we do this? How can we practically show others Christ in us? How can we practically live in such a way that others see our difference, that they see and experience the hope within us? We do this by the power and working of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. You see, no one here can do this alone. No one here can be perfect. No one here can perfectly love, can perfectly be patient, can perfectly be kind, can perfectly be like Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. If we have made the decision to follow Christ, if we have asked for forgiveness and accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit now dwells within us. It says this in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Okay, but this doesn't entirely answer the question, though. How then does the Holy Spirit help us? For one, He helps us and guides us through the Word. We as believers must be in the Word because God primarily chooses to speak through His living and breathing Word. So as we read, the Holy Spirit illuminates truths to us. He could confirm things to us. He could reaffirm. He could bring peace. He could bring to remembrance something we have read. Jesus says this of the Holy Spirit in John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." You see, when we're in those moments where we're impatient or unkind or unloving, that person is bothering us or something's bothering us, the Holy Spirit could bring to remembrance something we've read. But I heard a question put this way. I'm probably butchering it. I heard it a while ago. The question was this: how could the Holy Spirit ever bring to your remembrance something you never read? In other words, if we're not in the Word, yes, God is God. He can do as He pleases. But more often than not, He's not going to bring to your remembrance something you never read. We have to be in the Word as believers, because in those moments where we're struggling with peace, where we're struggling with loving someone, in those moments where I'm in the kitchen boxing the nuggets and someone's aggravating me up front and I have that urge to say a sarcastic remark or be rude, in those moments He can bring to remembrance a scripture of love, a scripture of peace, a scripture of kindness, a scripture of being patient. In those moments, He can bring to remembrance something I have read. But if I never read it, how could He bring it to my remembrance? But this is not the only way in which the Holy Spirit can guide us, teach us, and mold us. The other case is the case for prayer. Not only could the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us through reading Scripture, but He can very much guide us and lead us and mold us through prayer. If we want others to see the hope that is within us, if we want to become more loving and generous and gracious and kind and patient, then we must pray. We must pray. Sometimes the reason we may be struggling with loving someone difficult or for patience or for peace or for kindness is because we haven't asked for it. Ask for it this morning. Ask for it in that moment when you're struggling. Ask for it. Holy Spirit, Give me peace. Help me to love this person. Help me to be patient. Ask for it, and you will receive it. Now, I can go on and on about several other spiritual disciplines, because the fact of the matter is that spiritual disciplines help. They provide some sort of structure for becoming more Christ-like. But as I was finishing up my preparation, I kept coming back to the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe some of you have caught on. A lot of the phrases or characteristics I've mentioned have a lot to do with the fruit of the Spirit. But why the fruit of the Spirit? Well, I believe that if we want others to see and experience the hope in us, if we want others to come to Christ through how we act, through how we love, through how we are witnesses of Christ, then we must be growing in the fruit of the Spirit. These are the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, and this is one way to bring God the glory. Galatians 5, 22 through 23, I'm sure most of you know this, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I believe many of us already have some sort of an inclination towards some of these fruits already. Some of us are already naturally very loving. Some of us are already naturally very patient or very kind or very generous or very faithful. But I would venture to say that most of us in this room can at least grow in one of these areas in our lives, whether that's in work, whether in our families, with friends, with neighbors, coworkers, whatever that is, we can grow in at least one of these areas. On account of my story alone, I need to grow in love and kindness and patience and gentleness. And that's just within the context of work. Which of these do you need to grow in this morning? For others to see the hope within, which fruit needs to take root in your life this morning? Do we sincerely want to be a witness of Christ? Do we honestly and sincerely value others as God does? Then this isn't something we can just ignore. If we want those in this community, if we want those in our families, if we want those in our friend groups, in our work environments, to be exposed to the gospel in a real and transformative way, then we must grow in these areas. If we do not, then we limit what God could do in us and through us as individuals and as the church, as the body of Christ. As the worship team comes back up, with all of that being said, I know it's hard, okay, like how can we love fully? How can we love perfectly? The truth is, none of us can do it perfectly. And there's grace. There's grace. Even with the Holy Spirit in us and working through us, we will still mess up. We will still get things wrong. We will still get short-tempered and angry. We will still say sarcastic remarks and be rude here and there. We will still be impatient and not as gentle as we should be. We're still going to mess it up. We're still going to get things wrong. But there is grace upon grace. John 1:16 says this, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. At this moment, I'd like to close out service a little differently. We're going to spend a little more time in the altar this morning. And I want to emphasize the freedom to come to the altar. The altar is a place of freedom, not of shame. I want to challenge and encourage you to be honest and sincere with yourself. Are you being as loving as you could be? Are you being as patient as you could be? Are you being as gentle or generous or kind or faithful as you could be, as God has called you to be? I guarantee there's some area in your life that you can work on. Whether that's in the context of work or family or whatever it is, there is something in your life that God wants to do in you, that he wants to change in you, that he wants to transform. Is it to be more loving? Is it to be more kind? That's between you and God. So I'd like to encourage you and challenge you, If you need prayer for any of these things mentioned or anything not mentioned, the elders will be up here shortly, as well as my lovely wife. I'll be up here. If you need prayer for anything, come up. But if you feel as though God is wanting to speak to you directly and personally and challenge you personally, then this altar is open. If he is challenging you or urging you to address any of these issues, to be more loving, to be more patient, to be more kind, to be more generous, to be more faithful, to have more self-control, then I encourage you and challenge you to come up here. If he is wanting you and challenging you to become a better witness of his love and of his grace in whatever sphere you're in, whether that's work, family, friends, whatever it is, if he is challenging you to grow, to become more Christ-like, to become a better witness of his love and his grace, so that others may see the hope that is in you, so that they may come to a relationship with him, then I challenge you and encourage you to come down here. Whether that's to an elder, to me, to Emma, or just coming down here to kneel and to pray just between you and God. That is the challenge this morning. That's the encouragement. Because you can't grow, you can't become what Christ has for you unless you first address these issues, unless you first address what's holding you back, what's hindering you from becoming a better witness. So be honest with yourself, because this is no place of shame. This is a place of freedom, a place of grace, a place of love. So as the elders come up, as Emma comes up, as I get down, we're going to take the next 5 to 10 minutes to press in, to seek God, to seek what he has in store for you, what he wants you to change, what he wants you to address in your life. Whether that's love, patience, kindness, peace, whatever it is, there's got to be something he wants to do this morning in your life. So I challenge you, I encourage you. This is a place of freedom. God, we thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for your leading. God, I pray that as we go home today and this throughout the rest of this week, as we go back to work or wherever we go, God, I pray that you would touch us. I pray that you would meet us there, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would direct us. God, I pray that your will would be done in our lives, that your spirit would move in us and through us as we seek to better love, to be more patient, to be more kind, to be more gracious and generous, and to have more self-control. God, I pray that as we pursue these things, that we would become more and more like your son. God, I pray that as we do that, others would see that. Others would experience that. God, I pray that that hope in us would be evident to the people around us. And that through that, they would see your love, they would experience your love, they would experience your grace, they would experience your goodness. God, help us to become better witnesses of your love and of your grace and your goodness. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you have done this morning in our lives. God, I pray that you would give us the courage and boldness to go out and to be your hands and feet. To our immediate spheres, to this community, to this city, to this nation, give us the courage and boldness to do what you have called us to do. God, we love you, we thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.